This is Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Try to put on the show.
DM sliding. Playing Madden. These are some of the defenses that are being used as we continue to dive deeper and deeper into, let's be honest, the hilarity of the Quentin Dunbar and the DeAndre Baker game of dice that allegedly involved a robbery. It's Danny and Gallant with Michael Bumpus in for Danny O'Neill. Bump, this story has been fascinating. Now, no one got hurt, and I think we can have a little bit of fun with the story, just given that no one got hurt. But in the last 24 to 48 hours, we have seen Madden used as a defense for DeAndre Baker, because apparently DeAndre Baker, per his lawyer, was in a room playing Madden, so there's no way he could have been involved in the robbery. And Quentin Dunbar's lawyer, Michael Grieco, who is quite the cartoonish character in his borderline Better Call Saul, he tweeted out a picture of a direct message that showed two guys with smileys over their faces looking at a big wad of cash and a message saying, "You missed some good money yesterday, bro. Dolphin players. Dre Baker. We even beat him. We beat him out of $10,000 on the game." And then after that, it was shooting dice about another $60,000 out there. Now, keep in mind, this person in the direct message did not lead off the message with the lead, you know, the armed robbery. He led off with, "Yeah, there's a lot of money at this party, man. You missed out." But that is what was tweeted out by Dunbar's attorney. And to make matters even more amusing, Bump, DeAndre Baker's attorney has threatened a libel and slander lawsuit because Michael Grieco tweeted out this picture saying, "The text is complete bull bleep." What have you made of this entire saga, especially with the most recent developments?
It's a circus, man. It's every man for themselves at this point. You know, this lawyer saying this, this lawyer saying that, and they're doing it publicly, right? They want public perception is huge right now. And I think that's what they're trying to get a hold of. They're trying to make their guy not guilty to the public. In the court of law, we'll see what happens. But before getting to the court, they want to make sure that Baker looks like a good guy, that Dunbar looks like a good guy. And the crazy part about this whole thing is that these guys are supposedly still cool. They're still friends. Are they like texting on the side? Like, what's going on there? So it's confusing. And I think that that's what they want. They want you to be confused. They want you to base your decision off of emotion and not off of just facts. So they're going to throw everything they can out there. And I'm here for it, man. Keep writing articles. Keep putting stuff out there. I just want to see what happens at this point. I hope both guys, in a perfect world, I hope both guys were not involved and something crazy happened and guys are trying to exploit them. I hope
now
that,
we've
that's
got
what
some
it is. You know?
Lawyer on lawyer action. It's time for a sidebar.
For those who don't know, CSI Miami, one of my favorite shows, ironically, features a guy by the name of Horatio Kane that delivers one-liners like that. Jess gave me that one-liner yesterday, and I was like, "No, Jess, you have to deliver it. This because it's fantastic, and I did not come up with it myself." That's what it is turning into, though. It's something else, Bump. And I'm with you. Like, I'm hoping that it was one of those situations, specifically because I'm selfishly hoping Quentin Dunbar's on the field for the Seahawks next season. You know, they need him on the field next season. If their defense is going to take a step forward next year, it's going to be because of Dunbar right now. Like, the pass rush, you hope it gets better as the season progresses, but he's very important to their plans this coming year. I'm curious about this side of things. We're likely not going to get the truth in the court of law, because we started off with four people testifying that Quentin Dunbar was involved in some way, shape, or form. And then after that, we have Michael Grieco, his attorney, and his five smoking guns, five witnesses who wrote affidavits saying that Dunbar wasn't even there. So I don't know what we're ever going to get to the truth on that side of things. But in a locker room, is that something that players discuss with one another? Like, say if Quentin Dunbar, now it's going to be different for Quentin Dunbar, obviously, because he is going into an entirely new locker room and probably has not met face-to-face many, if any, of these Seahawks players that he will be playing with this coming season. But is that something that gets discussed? Do guys, like, talk about their legal situations and things that are pending with other teammates?
You know, I don't think they do with the majority of them. You always have your close guys on the team, guys that you trust. When I was with the Hawks, it was Courtney Taylor. Like, Courtney, I told him dang near everything. But you're right. He's going into a brand new locker room, you know, and his job is to make a great first impression. So I would think that he's going to hold that stuff tight to him and just say he's innocent. You know, I wasn't there. I wasn't doing this. Only person who probably has the true story right now is his mama. He probably called his mom, was like, look, mom, this is what happened. This is what really went down. You know, because you can trust your mom. But you're getting into a new locker room. You can't reveal too much of yourself, especially with all this mess going on. I think you keep it close to you. You see what happens with the court. And just play it out, man. But no, I don't think he's sharing that information with too many people, especially in that locker room.
Interesting. Now, I am also curious on this side of things. If you're in the locker room, do you want to know what happened? Do you need to know what happened? Do you feel that you might need to have an extra conversation with him? Right. Don't you want to trust him?
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know, but I'm not going to ask him. You know, he has to willingly just give that information up. I'm not like, hey, Dunbar, what's up? It's Bunk. Hey, so what's the deal with all this? What's going on, man? Like, that's not how you receive somebody into your team, right? That's his personal business. Granted, it's public because the lawyers are going at it. But no, I don't think you ask him, but hang around. You know, you try to see if he will reveal some type of information.
Bobby Wagner is the leader of the defense. What do you think Bobby Wagner will do when they finally all get together for the first time? Because there's obviously going to be just a breaking in period for Quinton Dunbar being a part of this defense, especially when there are some guys who have been here such a long time. First, Bobby Wagner, and of course, KJ Wright, too. So how does that typically work, especially when there is this thing that's hanging over him?
Yeah, if I'm Bobby Wagner, you do the – this is the speech that I feel like a leader would say, you know? Welcome to the team. I don't care what's happening off the field. As long as you show up to work every day, you bring your lunch pail, your hard hat, you're on time, you do all these things, then that will take care of itself. All I care about is what you do inside this building. Because honestly, that's all they can control. They can't control what happens outside of there. So why even waste your time like investing in that energy, that negative energy, right? You want to keep everything positive and make sure everyone's on the same page. As long as he's doing what he's supposed to do, he's showing up to practice every day, he's working hard, he's engaged, then I think he'll be fine. And I would feel like that's the speech that a Bobby Wagner would and should give.
Okay. And we'll see how it plays out. From everything that I've heard about Quinton Dunbar up to this moment, seems like a real good stand-up guy. And I know that this incident is definitely going to paint him in a bad way for a period of time. But I talked to some people that covered him in Washington, and they said like this was a nice guy. Everyone on the team called him Dunny. They all seemed to get along with him. And I mean, he has a fascinating story about like how he came to be a cornerback, because he started off as a wide receiver. And they said, look, you're not good enough at wide receiver. Go play corner. He was really good, I think, as a gunner in coverage. And because of that, like he got an opportunity to get out on the field. And we'll see if – I think it was jamming a gunner. I forget off the top of my head. But whatever the case, they need him this coming season. Like I don't think Bump the Defense takes a step forward unless Dunbar is the way that Pro Football Focus has described him. And again, statistics, numbers, how much do you – give credence to something like Pro Football Focus when it comes to a position like cornerback? I'm not 100% sure, but based off of that, like Bump, right now, that is what I am basically hoping is going to make this Seahawks defense better this coming season.
Yeah, his presence makes this defense better. You know, him pushing Trey Flowers to be better will make this defense better. Say Trey Flowers ends up rising to the challenge and taking that right corner spot, it's going to be because Dunbar is present. Say Trey Flowers doesn't, you know, and they move him somewhere else, or he's now the number two. It's because Dunbar is present, right? You bring him there to make that defense better in the back end. Granted, you need to have that defensive line get better as well, but his presence in general will elevate this defense, will elevate the play of this defense. So you need him there. You need him there for the development of Trey Flowers. You need him there for the competition. And I take what all these stats, I take it into account. You know, you have to respect the data at some point, but then you got to turn on the film. And I've turned on the film and I've watched this guy. He's long. He's instinctive. He recognizes route combinations. He plays with confidence. He goes out. He goes and gets the football. Like, you know, other than the stats, you put on the film, this guy can play. So he's definitely somebody you want on the field and you want in the building.
Does this incident put him perhaps behind Trey Flowers going into the year. And things can change. It's a 16-game season. It's a marathon. We assume it'll be 16 games, of course. Flowers did not have a great close of the season, but I did think Trey Flowers had some good moments last season, and I think the people that are acting like he was terrible last year are wrong. I wonder how this incident affects the way that the locker room, not the locker room, the coaching staff views this, because this will be a competition for that secondary corner spot, you would imagine, if not these guys getting thrown into the nickel corner position battle as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, if this were college football, high school football, Dunbar would come in and be the number two guy just because of this.
Right.
Right. But this is the NFL. It's they're professionals. If he is innocent, I think if he hasn't been charged of anything or convicted or anything like that going into training camp, I think he still starts off as the number one guy. I mean, you brought him here for a reason, to be that guy over there. So, yeah. And as far as Trey Flowers goes, man, I would love for people to stop writing him off. He did have his struggles during the season, but he also played well, and I saw him getting better. If I felt like he was stagnant and not evolving and not getting better, it'd be different. But that's the worst thing about the NFL is what have you done for me lately, right? And all people remember is Trey Flowers struggling at the end of the season. And it's so tough to erase that memory from your mind of Trey Flowers. But I would encourage people to go back and look at the film. Like, he shows some promise. It's only his second year playing corner. He's going to get better. But you bring a guy like Dunbar in to be that starter. So it's still Dunbar's spot to lose, in my opinion.
Confidence is the big thing for Flowers, because I think he lost it as the season went on. And I think it all started that game against the Bucks. And if you go back and watch the film, Mike Evans ate him for lunch. And look, it's Mike Evans. You know, it's not just that he is one of the best receivers in the game. He's massive. Like, you know, no matter if you're Trey Flowers and you're pretty good size for a cornerback, like, that guy's really good. I remember watching that game, and I don't want to be a body language expert, but I just remembered thinking to myself, man, Flowers does not look happy. And he was getting called for pass interferences. And a game like that can hurt your ability on the field. And he is young, and that's something you got to learn. And I do think that takes time, Bump. I'm sure you have a better insight on this. But to get that kind of confidence to move on to the next play or to move on to the next game, I would imagine it takes some time, especially at the NFL level. We're not all robots or just extremely confident individuals like other cornerbacks we've seen in the past here, like Richard Sherman.
Yeah, the thing about corners is that you're going to get beat. Like, there's going to be a time in the game where you get beat, and you got to learn to deal with that. And Trey Flowers is coming from the safety position to where you can kind of limit your mistakes. It's easier to keep things in front of you at that safety position when you're dropping back into coverage. You're seeing the whole field. So that's part of his development. That's part of him learning how to have a short memory, you know, and moving on to the next. So there are some things that he needs to work on. And the good athletes realize that they're honest with themselves. They have honest conversations. They watch the film. They critique themselves, and they listen to people that they trust. So if he has the right people in his corner, if he's being honest with himself, all the stuff that we're pointing out, he already knows. He knows that stuff. He knows what he needs to work on. So it's all about bouncing back. And now he has to be resilient. Now there's a guy coming for a spot. Now, how is he going to respond to that? Is he going to tuck his tail and say, "Woe is me," and move on? Or is he going to battle? And even if he battles and he doesn't earned the starting spot, that battle is going to teach him a lot. And I'm looking forward just to see how he takes that next step.
Michael Bumpus in for Danny O'Neill. It's Danny and Gallant. I am fascinated by that as well. We're doing something called Ask Michael Bumpus Anything. So before we get to around the NFL, here's a question from earlier. You just mentioned Courtney Taylor was your ride or die in the Seahawks locker room when you were on the Hawks, correct? Okay. Who's your ride or die with the Washington State Cougars? Who is your BFF in the Cougs locker room?
BFF in the Cougs locker room. Ah, man. So it's somebody that no one ever heard of, honestly. You know, I had a close relationship with Brink. He was a close second. But it was my guy, Finest Rap. He was a transfer from a JC in California. He just got stuck behind Jason Hill and Brandon Gibson, who were arguably two of the best receivers to ever come out of Washington State. And he's this tall, 6'6 guy. And we used to use his name to talk to girls. I'd be like, "Hey, this is my boy Finest." "There's no way his name is Finest." "Yes, his name is Finest." "Hey, pull out your ID card." Boom, there's a conversation piece. And now we're talking and we're moving. You know what I mean? So my boy Finest,
he
actually just moved to Washington. Yeah, he was an icebreaker. And he's 6'6". You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you have to play something. Me, I'm 5'11". I blend in. Yeah, I'm just an average guy walking around. So Finest Rap was my guy, man.
That's
that is
awesome.
So embarrassing. I have to admit that would work. Like, yeah. Yes, that works. Okay. Yeah. 6'6" and name Finest. Yep, that works, man.
Here's the follow-up question, though. Because he's 6'6", and let's be honest, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn, Jess and Ashley, who's in for Lydia, but a guy who's 6'6", I'm assuming that your eyes are going to be drawn to the tall person, right? Like, for 5'11"'s, like, bump an eye. Like, you know, we gotta fight the fight. Like, we're lying on our license. My license says I'm 6 feet tall. I'm not. I'm 5'11 and, like, a half. Like, that's gotta be hard to have, like, one of your good friends being, like, a 6'6" dude, because that person is essentially, like, the center attraction for everybody.
Well, my friends are all really pretty, so I usually pick up the scraps anyway. So I would have been
no
down with you
way,
guys.
No way, Jess. No way.
Yeah, well, just I hang out with a flock of beautiful swans, and I'm the goose.
Oh, don't say that. No, you're not. No, you can't say
stop
that.
It.
I do not co-sign on that statement.
We cannot have that negative energy
funny.
On a Friday.
Okay. It's natural biology for the eyes to be drawn to the tall guys. I mean, you know, you can't really help it. And then you get to know somebody, and maybe, you know, then you got a fighting shot. That's why you guys have such good personalities.
Well, I appreciate that. We have good personalities, but we're not 6'6". We still want to be, you know, everyone wants to be 6'6".
Don't worry, Paul. We have good personalities. So, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, how condescending is that? Jeez,
you just need the tall friend to reel all the ladies in, and then you just outshine them. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, all they are is chum. I mean, really, let's be honest. They're chum.
This is fair. There's this show that I have been watching that Stacey Ross of Tom, Jake, and Stacey got me on. It's called Too Hot to Handle. And one of the guys is, like, just an absolute nobody. He has no personality, this Australian guy. But he's, like, 6'6", and everyone is obsessed with him on the show. And it drives me crazy. It's like, this guy's just tall. That's all he's got. But, I mean, that is something pretty solid to bring to the table. We got Michael Bumpus in for Danny O'Neill. I'm Paul Gallant. Ashley Cox hanging out. We got Jessamyn McIntyre as well. And she's got Around the NFL.
It's time to go around the NFL. Brought to you by Toyota of Puyallup. The bottom line on the biggest stories in the NFL every morning at 9:15 with Danny and Gallant.
Today's an exceptional day.
Yes.
We have got a lot of proposed rule changes, and one of the more interesting ones that came out yesterday was the potential change to an onside kick rule where a team would have an option to also go for it on 4th and 15 from their own 25-yard line, and essentially it would play out like any 4th down would. They technically could still go for the onside kick. Maybe they have someone really skilled, some interesting things in the playbook for an onside, but I don't know about you, but I'm taking an extra down every single time.
I would as well, especially if you have a good quarterback. And here's the other thing, too. If you've watched onside kicks, it is just really, really hard now with the way that they have changed kickoffs, where you have to have 5 guys on either side of the kicker, and they can't get that running start. Because if you have watched onside kicks in the past, it's essentially, if you were to make it akin to like a battle comparison, the guys who are on the kicking team are a lot like a gang of charging soldiers, and the return team is playing the role of, let's say, William Wallace and his Scottish defenders in Braveheart, where they're just going, hold, hold. The advantage that you would have with that running start is, I think, a big part of what helped some of these kicking teams actually get the recovery. Now it's just so difficult to actually get the ball, and we've also seen, I think, a rash of offsides penalties on the return team, the kicking team, touching the ball before 5 yards. The play has become dramatically more difficult. So I think that you have to have an alternative in that place to potentially make things easier for a team to get the ball back. But I do wonder, 4th and 15, I think it's going to be a higher percentage than we've seen in the past with onside kicks. What do you think, Bump?
Yeah, onside kicks, the only time they work is when my son does it in Madden. Like, I don't see it working too often. And then as a player and as a coordinator, you have control. You have more control over the play when you go 4th and 15. Your playbook is open. You can do a bunch of different things. You can prepare for a 4th and 15. To whereas an onside kick is kind of like, let's see if we get lucky. Let's see if we get the right hop. Let's hopefully this guy fumbles the ball. So I think coaches like being in control. And with that 4th and 15, the playbook is open. They have more control of the outcome of the play.
This naturally brings us back to a conversation about the end of the past Seahawks season. Because if you remember, the last drive of the game, the Seahawks had the ball close to midfield, but then Russell Wilson gets sacked on a 3rd and 5, and it's 4th and 11 with 2:41 to go at their own 36. There are a lot of people who thought that the Seahawks should have gone for it in that situation, a lot like that onside kick. I thought it was the right move to punt because they had stopped the Packers on the previous two drives. What do you think about that play going back? Because that's a lot. It's very similar, essentially, to an onside kick and what has been proposed. Should they have gone for it in that spot?
You know, it's... I felt like they should have gone for it. But I'm also not on the field, right? Because we spoke about it yesterday, I believe, Paul, where guys have to make decisions based off of data or based off of emotions and the feel of the game. And I think Pete Carroll made that decision off of the feel, the emotions of the game, like off of his players, what the conversation is like, what the sideline is like. So for me, I would have gone for it. But again, I'm not on the field. And I think people miss that, is that there's communication and a connection that's happening between the players and the coaches and the people upstairs. There's a lot of things that are going on that influence what a coach is doing. But, you know, I've learned to just kind of sit back and let Pete Carroll do what it is he does and just hope for the best at this point.
The thing is, they had all three of their timeouts in that situation, which is a rarity for the Seahawks at the end of the game, because I know from time to time Pete doesn't make the best decisions with said timeouts. You got to use them. They had to stop the Packers once, and they also had the 2-minute warning, and they failed twice on third down. They did get them to third down twice, and it was 3rd and long too, 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9. Defense has to do something there. What do we have any more in around the NFL? Sorry, Jess. I think we just got stuck
on
one thing.
We just went a little long. It's fine. I think that we should continue fielding questions for Bump. That's been a
Sounds
lot of
good.
Fun. And we can get to some more if we want to in the next segment, including just what it will be like to play without fans.
All right. Sounds good. That's Jessamyn McIntyre. Michael Bump is sitting in for Danny O'Neill. Ashley Cox running the whole thing. I'm Paul Gallant. Danny at Gallant 710 ESPN Seattle. You can ask Michael Bump as anything. 710-710, the Vizzy's Hard Seltzer text line. Let's field some more questions before the end of the show. Maybe some more topics about the NFL as well. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Danny and Gallant.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
I'm the corniest dancer of all time. Danny and Gallant with Michael Bumpus sitting in for Danny O'Neill. We're continuing to get to know Michael Bumpus on an Ask Michael Bumpus Anything Friday. This might be something that we alternate between Danny and I going forward. And when we have Bump in the house, too, we're going to have to continue it. It's great to have you aboard, buddy. We have missed being able to talk with you on a regular basis and for like an entire hour. Classic COVID-19. It's the absolute worst. Okay. So a couple of questions on 710-710 on the Vizzy's Hard Seltzer text line. And this one, I really want to hear the answer to. Which fan base was the worst on the road? Now, I know you've played in a bunch of different venues. And I want to focus on the college side of things here. And here's the caveat. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's the Huskies, but you can't pick the Huskies right here. I'm kidding there. I actually wouldn't know on that front. But who was the worst fan base that you interacted with when you were at Wazoo?
The worst fan base, probably Auburn, honestly. I remember going down to Alabama and we're driving through campus. And people are flipping the bird, jumping in front of the bus. And it's different when Pac-12 fan base does it, right? Down there was like, they literally hate us and think that they're better than us and know that they're just going to stomp us down into the ground. I had old ladies flipping the bird at me. I had people doing research and talking about my mom. Like, how's Renee doing? And I'm like, how do you know this information? Like, you guys are private investigators. Like, and then they pack it with 90 to 100,000. They were national champions that year. They knew they were going to beat us. They were just really obnoxious. And Auburn, for sure. Auburn.
What, did you enjoy the experience when you first went into it? I mean, shoot, playing in front of 90,000 people, that's still got to be an incredible experience, especially when you're first going on the field. I would have goosebumps.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, other than them getting at us and beating us, yeah, it was awesome. Like, we're sitting in the locker room. They got the War Eagle. Apparently, we didn't see it because we're in the locker room, but, like, the eagle starts at the top of the stadium, then it swoops down to the middle of the field, and everyone erupts. The ground starts shaking. I remember the ground started shaking. I stood up. I'm like, y'all ready? It's about to get real out here, man. And, yeah, playing in front of 90,000, it's like a dream, man. It was fun. Even though we lost, it was fun.
You mentioned something that bothers me about Auburn, and I grew up a Florida Gator fan. There are many things I don't like about Auburn. I hate those stupid pom-poms that they always have. Like, that's the thing that their crowd has. They have these, like, pom-poms on a stick that they shake forward throughout the game. It's annoying. It looks cool on television. I have never understood why a team that has the cool nickname of War Eagle and a War Eagle that flies into the stadium has decided, yeah, we have this cool, unique nickname, but we're going to be one of three teams in one conference nicknamed the Tigers. I don't get it. It is the most bizarre thing to me in the world.
I don't get it. It's confusing. Cool, like, who are you?
Yeah.
You're a Tiger? You War Eagle? Like, what's going on here?
Right. And they say to one another,
one of those
War
things?
Eagle.
I worked the Cougar game, I believe it was 2014 or 2015, where the Cougs opened up at Auburn, and that was my first working experience in SEC country. And it is absolute, I wish that you did get to see it, but obviously you were on the opposing team, so maybe you wouldn't have been in such awe. It is absolutely phenomenal, and every butt is in a seat way before kickoff. Like, there's no late arriving crowd when it comes to Auburn. And then the entire stadium goes, ooh, and then when it lands, the whole place erupts. It's that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
I need to go to another college football game in the South again, though. That's the one thing I know. It is something else. I went to Gainesville twice. I really want to go to a game in Baton Rouge if I possibly could. Okay, more questions for Michael Bumpus. This one's about the Seahawks defensively going into the year. Bump, what's your confidence level in Ken Norton Jr., what am I, in the SEC, dialing up the defense this coming season?
I am confident. I think, see, I always think that guys are going to correct themselves, right? Because football is based off of adjusting and correcting. And Kit Norton's been around for a long time. He's seen a lot of football games. He even coached in high school against my, he was a coach of my rival school in high school for a year, too. So he's seen a lot of football. And I know he's looking at this defense. They have to stay in base a lot. I believe it's because they just didn't believe in their personnel. I think that he is going to do his research. He's going to get that nickel package out there a lot more. He's going to dial up some blitzes and change the game. I believe in Ken Norton. I believe in the whole Seahawks staff at this point. It's all about correcting, making adjustments. I believe Ken Norton is going to get it done.
You know, as the season kept going, and Pete told us this after the fact, they felt that the defense was forcing teams out of those three wide receiver sets by keeping themselves in that base 4-3. And I think the texter means, and I could be wrong on this, that he would like to see them maybe like be a little more aggressive and blitz more or something like that. I'm very curious as to this coming season if they decide that they're going to roll with that base, maybe not as much as they did last season, which was a ridiculous amount, but still putting it out there a regular amount. Because at this point, you have so many linebackers. Cody Barton, I thought, finished the season strong. K.J. Wright finished the season strong. You had Bobby Wagner, who was a first-team All-Pro. I think all of them struggled in coverage a little bit, but now you're adding Jordan Brooks into the equation. It does feel like linebacker is potentially more of a strength than your cornerback group, because I know you're expecting Ugo Amadi to take a big jump this season, and you talked about it a little bit earlier, but I think there are more questions probably about that cornerback position than there are about the linebackers.
Yeah, if you look at what they've done and the linebacker core that they do have, it suggests that base defense is what they want to do. When you're in base defense 75% of the time, I think they were in this past year, it makes you believe that they feel like their personnel fits that. And then you go and get a linebacker, so it makes you think that, okay, they're loading up for this base defense. But I just can't believe, I don't think that they're just going to be stubborn enough just to not adjust, you know, because if that defense gets one or two more stops in each and every game, they win one or two more games. And when a Matt Schaub, however you say his name, Schaub, is tearing you up for 400-plus yards because you're staying in the base. I mean, when Jameis Winston almost beats you, you know, I look at these games and I'm like, okay, they're going to do something different, right? End of the day, though, you have to stick with what you believe in. If they believe in a base defense, then they better coach that base defense up to where it can handle any situation. Me, I'm throwing in a nickel. I'm letting Ugo cook a little bit. I'm getting Blair in the situation. If Dunbar is healthy, we're doing that. I mean, you have guys in the secondary that you can put in spots to play in that nickel defense. But I'm not the coach. I'm not getting paid the big bucks. I'm just here to talk about it, Paul.
I like it. One last question. Ask Michael Bumpus anything for this segment before we wrap things up with our flags. What's something, Bump, that is extremely insignificant that annoys you? And this texter points as an example on the Vizzy's Hard Seltzer text line. My wife will leave 5 seconds on the microwave, and I'm sure it's because she knows it bothers me. And I'm guessing she never clears it out after the fact.
Insignificance that bothers me. You know, I would say in the backyard, when I walk around the house and I make sure everything's locked, windows are locked, doors are closed, if I look in the backyard and there's one ball in the backyard, in the middle of the backyard, not where it's supposed to be, because there's a place where all the balls go, I tell the kids, look, you guys, put everything back when you're done. And there's one ball in the middle of the yard, it just irks me. And it doesn't matter. It's one tennis ball. It's like, it doesn't matter. But I look at it and I will literally have to open the door, go pick up the tennis ball and put it away, because for some reason I can't sleep knowing that there's a ball out of place in the backyard. I don't know what it is about that. I don't get it.
No, I understand, because my dad had this same problem in the kitchen, and I, being a little devil, decided to bust my dad's chops by leaving extremely small, specific little crumbs or drops of water in the kitchen. He hated this. He always wants the kitchen to be extremely clean, and I gotta give him credit. Like, no one keeps a kitchen clean like my dad, but I love to mess with him, because whenever there was a little bit, because he's great at messing with me. He has taught me everything I know about being annoying. So for all those who are annoyed by me on a regular basis, blame my dad, not me. It's not my fault. Sheesh. So I used to do that to him, and he'd lose it. Like, and he'd just start yelling at me. And I think he knew that I was doing it on purpose, but he still, every single time, it was just like a sitcom. Like, it was a predictable answer. I knew it was going to happen. So you got something in common with my dad. I like this. I like this a lot. He is Michael Bumpus.
Old man stuff.
I'm Paul Gallant. Yeah, listen, it is old man stuff, but we all get to it at some point, and I'm sure there's some people listening right now that feel the exact same way as you. And you know what? From time to time, I do. I wish I was more consistent with my overall being neat. As far as for me, my big thing that bothers me and it's insignificant, I do not mind if someone tells me no and gives me an explanation. I don't like being told no without being given an explanation. It drives me crazy. Like, just explain why no. But with a lot of people, they will fail to do it, and fail to give a good enough explanation, and I will not be able to move on. Like, I just can't. I'm like, well, why?
Because I said so, Paul. No, because I said so.
Exactly.
That's what I tell my kids, because I said so.
see, you have that, though. You have that card. You have that card. But now, like, I'm a somewhat grown man, and as a somewhat grown man, I need the truth. I need the truth. He is Michael Bumpus in for Danny O'Neill. I am Paul Gallant. We have got one last segment to go to wrap up your week. Hope that you have had a lot of fun with us over the course of this week. We'll raise our flags. We will throw our flags. It's Danny and Gallant, 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the pocket, and flags everywhere. flag on the play.
Now there's a flag down.
Every morning at 9:45 with Danny and Gallant. Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen.
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Flag on the play.
That time of the show, the last chance to dance, as Gus Johnson would say. We get to raise a flag, we get to throw a flag. Before we do that, though, I'm going to throw one last question at Michael Bumpus, who's done a fantastic job the last few days, filling in for Danny O'Neill. Bump, your favorite NFL memory?
Favorite NFL memory? I did score one touchdown from Hasselbeck, but I kind of felt that was coming. But my favorite memory was a punt return against the 49ers. I almost took it to the house. I think it was like a 45-yard return. Bruce DeHaven, our special teams coordinator, rest in peace, called return left. There was nothing there. I went right. I'm going up the sideline. I get a shoestring tackle by no other than my former teammate, Jason Hill, which made it kind of sweet. I'm like, all right, if I get tackled by somebody, I guess it's by one of my boys. So, yeah, punt return almost to the house. That would have been awesome.
Did he bust your chops afterwards?
I didn't even realize he did it until after the game. He was like, hey, you know, that's I'm the one who got you. I'm like, really? And I looked at the film, and he tackles me, and he's like looking at me like trying to shake my hand, but I'm so excited that I almost broke into the house. I'm like jumping up, getting excited, and didn't really even see him.
Well, that's cool that he tried to shake your hand afterwards. That's awesome. Yeah, if I had a big return like that, I think I would have been the same way. So excited. All right, it is that time. Time to raise flags, throw flags. Ashley Cox has been filling in for Lydia Cruz today. So, Ashley, we're gonna start with you. Flag to raise, flag to throw. What you got?
Oh, it's been fun, guys. It's been fun to get back in the saddle. I'm raising a flag to one Michael Bumpus for defending his beloved Cougs, especially Anthony Gordon, when asked about Josh Gordon. That was so good and made my day. Thank you.
That was a really funny moment. Look, so Bump, I feel like you're a little embarrassed by it, but like it's not as bad as me during Around the NFL at least three times, like just not listening to Jess and then be like,
yeah,
oh, what?
Awesome.
It's happened at least three times.
Yeah, but
more.
this was kind of funny because Bump's good at laughing.
Would you give Josh Gordon another chance if you're the Seattle Seahawks?
Would I give him another chance? Yes, I would. I think that Let's his go. Style of play fits kind of what the Seahawks want to do. He's mobile enough. You're never going to get me to say anything bad about a Wazoo quarterback, by the way, Paul Gallant.
Did I say Anthony Gordon, by the way? Because I asked Josh Gordon, I thought. Maybe I'm not speaking English
Oh,
correctly.
Did I say...
I mean, if they're giving Anthony Gordon another chance already, yikes. I mean, that means he failed, I guess. Listen, that's the coup. He's got
oh my
the coups
God.
On his mind.
Sorry, I just had to. That was really funny.
Nothing wrong with having the Cougs on your mind.
Lock it in, Bump.
I loved it.
Goodness gracious.
Anthony Gordon's the next Gardner Minshew. Everybody knows it. It's just a matter of time. All right. Up next.
That's what it is.
Flag raising. Flag throwing. Jessamyn McIntyre, what you got?
Well, it's me. It's me. I'm going to raise a flag for you guys. The past 2 days have been really fun, and I know that we're all in different places, but Bump, it's been so great to have you in. I've really loved the past two shows. I really enjoyed Paul geeking out yesterday. That was really fun for me. It's just one of my favorite things. So anyway, I love it. I get, you know, you're out of your comfort zone if you don't have the regular thing going on, the regular hosts. And I knew you'd be great, Bump, and you didn't disappoint.
Thank you, Jess.
All right, Bump. Show me what you got.
I am raising a flag for Mr. Paul Gallant, my guy. You're my quarterback. You're my teammate.
I like
Thanks
that.
For
I appreciate that.
Having me in and making this thing fun, man. I love it. I love it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Bump. And I always love it when you come aboard. Obviously, love it when I'm working with Danny as well. I'm looking forward to when we get back so we can all hang out for like an hour, because that's what we were doing on Wednesdays and Fridays. It's a whole lot of fun. You're a great part of the show, man, too. And seriously, the text line is echoing it. They love it when you're aboard. And seriously, you've been great. You've been great the last 2 days, and I've had a whole lot of fun, especially getting to know you today with a little Ask Michael Bumpus Anything. We're going to have to do that again. I want to see how far the rabbit hole we can go down on this front. I am going to raise a flag for the many people in our armed services who have given their lives in defense of this country, serving their country. Obviously, we have a lot of people have off Monday in honor of those people. I come from a family with a lot of people that served in it. Luckily, none of them were those who passed away in the line of duty. But I know that there are a lot of people listening right now that have had loved ones that have died overseas, abroad, or due to something else, that have been serving in the military. And that sacrifice is so appreciated. And I know that for those who are listening right now that I have had loved ones pass away, I hope that this weekend you can remember that person for all the positive things that they were able to do over the course of their lives, and that they were willing to lay down their lives because they believed in something greater than themselves. So thank you very much to all those people who have served and who have given their lives serving, because really, it's an incredibly courageous decision just to decide to serve in the armed forces, let alone to make the ultimate sacrifice. So very much appreciative of that. All right, guys. I had a lot of fun this week. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So much to Ashley Cox, my final flag, for doing everything. We haven't had her on this show in a long time, and there's a lot going on. We had some technical issues early on. She fixed everything. So thank you so much, Ashley.
Well, I'm just happy to be here. I love you guys. You make work fun.
Ashley, we like it when you come aboard as well. It's fantastic. I think it was a good time, good job, good effort by the entire team. Solid A+. If you have a three-day weekend this weekend, enjoy it. Be responsible. Be smart. Don't do anything dumb. So long. Farewell. You'll hear us next Tuesday? Can't wait.
Tuesday.
I'm going to have some fun this weekend. So long, farewell, and you will hear us then.